Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Welcome today to Keep It Simple. I'm Gavin Durson.
I'm Tom LeCompte.
And we're going to jump right into it today. We got a special guest here with us. This is my good friend, Caleb Phillips. Caleb, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Want to get right into it with Caleb. We're really excited for him to be here today. We've been talking about you coming in and recording an episode or two with us for a while, and glad we could work it out today. I got to know Caleb several months ago. It's not been quite a year, but very encouraged to meet Caleb and hear about what God was doing in your life. And just neat, as I've shared with you and others personally, that you know I feel like getting to know you has been a real blessing in my life over the last 6 months or a year. Just getting to know you and finding another brother that has, you know, feel like a kindred spirit, and just grateful for your friendship. But why don't you just kind of start today? Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you kind of ended up at this table here with us today. So,
Right now I live in Jessamine County, and I've been in Jessamine County, my wife and I, for 14, almost 15 years.
And for those listening, that's about 15 minutes. I mean, Jessamine County and Lexington are kind of becoming merged more so every day.
It's the county just south of Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Went to Asbury College there, and I'm from Illinois originally, and ended up staying in Jessamine County, in Nicholsville, Wilmore, the two towns there in Jessamine County, and worked as a youth pastor for about seven or eight years, youth and discipleship pastor at a traditional church, and enjoyed it. Went to seminary, but 2013, 2014, God really started changing my heart. Most of the kids, I had about 40 young people in youth group, and 35 of them didn't have families in the church, were from more at-risk homes and background, and just weren't typical church kids. And I was having a really hard time connecting them with the life of the church and connecting their families in the church. And so I just started praying about what that looked like, and felt God was kind of calling my wife and I both to plant a church. And so I came from a seminary background, had a degree in church planting, and I thought, you know, I had an idea about what that would look like. And so I began to pursue that through some different avenues. And as I looked more into it, it just seemed like a total waste of resources and time, just not the way that was going to connect to the people that God had put on my heart, which was just lost people. And I was worried about starting something that would be, again, for people that were Christians, and then try to motivate those people to go reach lost people. I felt like God was really beginning to show me the plan was to disciple people into the church, to raise up leaders from the harvest, and not worry about a core or critical mass or anything like that, but to be able to meet people where they are and just strip it down, to put no barriers between them and Jesus, and then allow them to walk with that, and we just walk alongside them. And so 2014, I guess, in the fall of 2014, my wife and I stepped away from our church, just not with a plan in mind or a job, just felt God was calling us to leave, and that became really clear. I kind of had an idea, okay, we're going to transition out of this in like 6 months, and I'll have another church, or we'll plant a church or whatever. And then God really told me really clearly the next week to step away without any strings, like in no parachute, no wow. Backup plan, nothing like that. And so I talked to my church that I was at then, and they were a little bit, I would say, they were a little more skeptical than I was about that plan, but we stepped out of that and just decided to stay where we were, but thought, you know, God's probably going to move us to a city or one of these places where there's like a big need. But in the meantime, God, just we really, as we prayed, the only thing that I was hearing was make space in your life, create space for people to have relationships. And so I started looking for ways to just be available to the people that God had put on my heart, which was teenagers. That's young people that are not in church, that are probably the ones that most people don't connect with. So I was already in relationship with a bunch of guys from playing basketball or working, volunteering at an alternative school that's in Jesmyn County, which is a school that is a public school. They send all of the behavior problem kids, social problems, education issues, they send those kids to this school. And so for the last 10 years, I've done after-school basketball, some music programs. And so I just kept doing that. And as I was doing that, hanging out with some of those students, a local coffee house owner saw me with a group of these kids and said, hey, would you like to have a place to meet with them on a weeknight? And I was like, okay, I'll do that. My plan was still, I'll do this until God gives me like a church or a job. And so I chose Wednesdays with the idea that all the youth group kids would be in youth group and wouldn't come to the coffee house. And so we started meeting on Wednesday nights in November, I think, of 2014 with just, I think there was three or four high school students there that came from the alternative school. I called the principal and was like, hey, I'm going to be up at this coffee house tonight. Tell some students that you think might want to show up, and I'm just going to tell them about Jesus. And so a few of them showed up, and they didn't know me at all, and I didn't know them. And I kind of explained to them, hey, this probably be a little bit weird, but like, I'm going to tell you about Jesus, and we'll just keep doing this every week until either some of you believe this or nobody shows up anymore. And so we started doing that, and it was just a time of hanging out, spending time together. There was really no agenda other than kind of make some space there and to ask questions. And then I would just, whatever their perspective was on any issue, whether it's what's the biggest problem in the world or what do you think the meaning of life is, my job was just to tell them, here's what the Bible says about this. So what's your perspective? Here's what God says. And so we kind of went that way for several months. We spent about 6 months at the coffee house. And in that time, God really started to crystallize for my wife and I that this was not just like something we were doing until we planted a real church or until I took a job. Because during this time, we had no income at all from October on, even still till today, we haven't had any, I've never worked a job, like a paycheck. So we were living by faith with this kind of tension of, we had a plan in our mind. I even told my wife, like, all right, probably, you know, November, December, we'll kind of not work. And then by January, I'll start at a different church that's more like wherever God wants me, or a new job, and we'll begin making plans. And that just didn't happen. We just continued to see what we were doing with these teenagers and young adults to multiply. And we began to see really fruit be produced there. As I never invited anyone except for that first phone call to the principal. And within a couple months, there was 30, 40 teenagers there. And that became, then I started getting offers for youth ministry jobs that wanted to take that and just connect that to their church or Young Life. Or there was a whole bunch of like, people started noticing this kind of group of things. I was very protective of it because one, I didn't know what God was going to do with us. And two, I just wanted to keep things so stripped down and not put any barriers between people and not try to tell them, hey, you can hear about Jesus over here, but then really you need to come over here and be a part of this thing, this church. This isn't, what we're doing isn't really church. And so it wasn't until there started to become believers, because nobody was a believer except for me, my wife, and the principal that came sometimes. But we moved. Some people offered us another space after about 6 months that was downtown, that was kind of met more of our needs and had a stage in it. And we just opened it up after school to do music, to hang out, some video games, just not really with a plan, but just, hey, if you want a safe space to come. And then usually for an hour to an hour and a half, we call it Circle Up. Each night, each Wednesday night, we would circle up and just talk. Like, I would just teach the Bible or ask questions, and we would just discuss and get into the Word. And we began to see this as our church. This was our calling. We were kind of missionaries to this group of people that were, it was primarily, it was all teenagers that were from low-income homes, rough backgrounds, tough situations, and young adults. And so we started finding it wasn't just a typical youth ministry type look. It was mostly actually 17 to 25, and then we'd have a few younger ones in there. In September of 2015, we had our first baptism, first believer from a guy that had come very early on and made his profession of faith, was baptized. And then from that point, I started just discipling him as a leader, and God started to really do some things. We started meeting with a couple of them that, like him and a couple other ones, on Sunday nights, and we called that church. We're gonna have church, and we would do some more specific things with. We would worship. We have a lot of music abilities, so there'd be like six acoustic guitars, and we would take communion, do more of the things that are the elements of that people would probably consider church, but still really laid back. And we just have continued to do that the last couple of years as God has provided, kind of made that our burden. It's just over the course of the early stages of it, and probably even before, but the really key was that God broke our hearts for these people. And we went from thinking we were going to leave Jessamine County and go to some place where God was calling us to, wanting desperately to stay there because our eyes were open to the need and the burden and how many broken people there were, and so we have really kept in our mind from very early on the Luke 15 parable of the lost sheep. Leaving the 99 and going to the one has been just our heartbeat, and I think is Jesus' heartbeat, that you don't have to leave the relationship with the 99, but you go out and you go to where that one is, and you seek and you search, and you find the wounded, the lost, the broken, and you're with them until you can bring them into the fold. And that doesn't necessarily mean, I think sometimes we think of it as like bring them into the church building and membership of a church. And really what that means is bringing them into the family of God, where they're restored to life. But then right there, you can begin to disciple from the harvest to where you have your church, you have your leaders. And so that's where we are today. We have kind of two separate house churches, one on Wednesday, one on Sunday, that meets at my house, one at a building.
Well, and let me stop you there just a second, because I want to kind of back up just a second. I remember, like, when I met you, it's not quite been a year ago. I was trying to think of it.
It was August.
Yeah, it was in August, so almost a year. But I met you. I remember I came to you the first day, and I was like, I'll always give out, and it's a resource we've talked about here in this book, but the Rabbit and the Elephant by Tony and Felicity Dale. I had that book with me. I always give that to people just to kind of say, hey, here's a resource for you. And I remember I was going to give that to you, and you're like, oh, I already have that book. And you told me a story about how you got that book and how that kind of helped you to kind of think through some things. That was really interesting to me.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Paving Paradise. Your house church is growing and multiplying as it should, but there are so many people attending your house church that parking is a big problem. Ay, ay, ay. Your driveway is full and cars are parked up and down your street for blocks. Your neighbor's driveways are being blocked and they are getting irritated. Your own church members can't get out of your driveway because they're blocked in by other members' cars. You need a solution to this problem. You need Paving Paradise. That grass is taking up so much space around your house, can be put to good use as a parking lot. You don't need that garden. You need parking spaces. Let Paving Paradise transform your own yard into the parking lot of your dreams. We can help you plan your lot with a variety of sizes and shapes to custom fit your property. All lots come with painted lines and traffic signs. We offer plans from just a few slots all the way up to a multi-level garage, all in your own yard. Your neighbors will be grateful. Your church members will be grateful. Everyone wins. Call now for a free quote. Call Paving Paradise. Put up a parking lot.
Yeah, I guess it was about a little over a year ago. It was February of last year. that we had been going about a year and kind of still no income at all, living by faith day to day. The only way we paid our bills is just random checks in the mail, and we would just pray. And God really specifically was telling us, I felt like telling me there was job opportunities, but I just would not have a peace about taking any job. And it seemed like it didn't make sense, but God, like, I was just available as a full-time missionary, my wife and I, to these young people. So like whatever they needed. And part of it was, we knew part of it is like, it's not just the normal, like, come and worship together, but a whole lifestyle. We look at it as like Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So from like a 12-year-old or whatever he was at that time when that verse is written, after he is in the temple and he's separated from his Mary and Joseph, he grows not just in spiritual wisdom, but he grows in favor with men. He grows in life skills. He learns. He develops. He has a father in Joseph and a mother in Mary. And the people that we work with, that's what they need. I mean, they just don't have mothers and fathers. They specifically don't have spiritual mothers and fathers, but they don't even have physical people to teach them to drive. You know, I got 21-year-olds who've never had a driver's license, that they don't have jobs because nobody ever told them they could do that, or even gave them the motivation to do that. And so we were doing these things full time. We were like, people were, from my background and things people were, it just was this feeling like, this isn't church. You guys are just like a ministry. But at some point, you need to connect these people to a church.
What does that mean?
Yeah, and it was kind of like, yeah, that's your role, is to do the work of, you know, life skills with them, and kind of almost like this social work. But what I see, I was like, this is all spiritual. This is all discipleship, like everything we're doing. And then one day I went to this building that people let us use in Nicholsville to meet at. And I was just praying on a Monday morning. I always go and pray for a few hours. And when I was getting up to leave, I just got this overwhelming feeling. There's a bookcase, just like piles of books over in the corner. And I'd never looked at it once. And I'd been there for, you know, a year. And I just got this overwhelming feeling, go over to that bookcase and grab a book. So I just went over there, kind of looked over. A bunch of them were really old, like Celebrate Recovery Bibles and AA Bibles from like the 20s. And so I saw one that was like a little bit newer, so I just grabbed it, didn't even look at it, went out to my car, got in my car, went to this coffee shop where I was going to meet somebody. And when I got out, I took it in with me, had my meeting, and then it was sitting there, and I started reading it, and it was Felicity and Tony Dale's book. Yeah. And I started reading it, and it was like, it was actually, that book was the book, Big is Small, I think it's called. And I was like, it was like about house, and I was like, what in the world? And I started reading it, and I was like,
heresy.
Yeah, I was like, this is what we're doing. Like, and maybe I guess I needed that kind of affirmation. Like, I was just, I took it home to my wife, and I was like, read this book. Like, this, like, the stuff that they're talking about, like, this is what we're doing. Like, and but the cool thing about that was, even that same morning, it was sitting there next to me, and I was reading it, and I set it down, and there was a guy at the coffee shop sitting in the next table over from me, and he saw the book, and he said, do you like that book? And I said, well, I think so, but I haven't read the whole thing. I just picked it up this morning randomly. Yeah. And he said, it's a pretty good book. Yeah. And he said, I've read it a couple times. And I was like, who are you? Like, why are you reading this? And he was like, well, I've written some books about discipleship and house churches and things. And his name's Mike Henderson, and he had written a book called Making Disciples One Conversation at a Time. Huh. And The Ladder of Faith, Faithfulness, and some things. So we, just from that, he was like, what are you doing? So I told him my story, and he was like, let's be friends. And so we started meeting, and he again affirmed, at a time when almost every church leader I knew was kind of like distancing themselves from me a little bit. I felt like, because of the way that we were doing church and doing and trying to disciple people, he just said straightforward to me, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And like, I'd start crying, you know, when he told me, like, I didn't know this guy. He was an older guy and just a great man, but he just said, listen, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And he said, let's meet next week and talk about this some more.
One cool thing, Tom, to tell you, like, that at the same, I think it was, we were talking about this, and I think it was about that same time that I'd actually met him as well. Of course, I didn't know you at the time, and he had actually came up and did one of our leadership trainings on conversational, disciple-making, one conversation at a time, and gave me the book.
We need to get him on the show, too.
Yeah, he'd be great to have, and he's a great encourager in all of this and what we're doing.
Thanks to our sponsor, The Lazy Apron. The Lazy Apron, providing quality prepared meals for your house church gathering. Has this ever happened to you? You're on your way to house church and they'll be serving a meal, but you just didn't have time to prepare anything. So you stop at the gas station and grab a box of three-day-old sushi, maybe a bag of chips and some stale donuts, and that will be your hasty and lame contribution to the love feast. But there's a better way. Just order all your potluck foods through The Lazy Apron. Just select a fine 7-course gourmet meal from our extensive menu, and everything will be sent to your doorstep by drone. Your gluten-free, fat-free, hormone-free, allergy-free, all-organic meal will come to you ready to serve right out of the box. So forget the manager specials and the stale cookies. Order your next love feast from The Lazy Apron.
But the funny thing about Caleb is that, I guess this, you know, we have coming up in 2 weeks, we have the skate church will be doing the skate camp. And that was something that I'd started back when we were with FCA. There was a guy, the skate church, and even Simple Church for me, if you haven't listened, this is part of, a big part of my story here. But it all kind of bore out of a lot of the skate ministry that we had at the skate park. And one of the cool things was when we first started that, we were all, the big issue is always like finding vans. And there's a guy in Nicholasville that was working with us, and he was getting vans from Caleb. And I didn't even know Caleb, but he was the one that was providing our vans for our skate church. Like, this has been, 8 years ago.
Yeah. Cool. Sponsoring kids.
Yeah, helping getting vans, kids there. Yes. And that's just really amazing. So when I met you, it was just a really kind of a God thing. And I was like, man, like, this is so neat because, I'm encouraged by it. And I hope if you're listening to this podcast, you're encouraged. Like, I meet people every week that God is putting Simple Church in the hearts of his people all over. It's people, and it's, he's just doing it. He's just doing it. It's not because of some book that's popular or because of some program or because of some neat new hip thing. God is just putting, I think, the simplicity of church and of disciple making in the hearts of men and women all over the globe. And I'm encouraged by all around me, and Caleb was just another one of those great examples. And I think I told my wife, I was like, man, I met you have these moments sometimes where you meet somebody, like, man, I met somebody today that I got a feeling is going to be a friend for the rest of my life, and just a partner in the ministry.
Divine
so
appointment.
Yeah, so it was really cool. So why don't you kind of take us to, now, there's so many things, and we may have to break this podcast up into two parts.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
But why don't you just tell us a little bit? So I met you, back last August, and that was a couple of weeks. I feel like it was a few weeks there before we were getting to have our conference, which we'd kind of decided would be a more of a prayer focus. Why don't you kind of, because I know that was really encouraging to me. Why don't you kind of start from there and kind of share some of the things that God's specifically been doing just in the last 9 months?
Yeah. When I met Gavin, it was definitely a divine appointment, answer to some specific prayers that we have been trying to stay really faithful to what God had called us to, and we felt, my wife and I just continually felt like God had was calling us not only to strip away everything that a church might think they need to reach people and just make it super simple, but also he kind of in teaching us that stripped away everything from us. So we felt very isolated. We had no income. We lost our home. We felt like friends, like our families live at a distance. Both of our families are out of state. So we just kept feeling like God was calling us. Our family was the people that we were in doing life with in church, these young people. But it, at the same time, we were lacking in some of the community and support, and especially prayer support. We felt like we were facing so much spiritual warfare on our own, and we hadn't really shared a lot about our journey. We were not super going around telling people what we were doing. We were just doing it. And so we began to pray. I remember it was like actually the Sunday morning before I met Gavin. My wife and I, it was a Sunday morning. We don't have a church on Sunday mornings. We would always go hiking with our kids, and we do a Sunday afternoon kind of extended 3 or 4 hour time at our house. And so we were going hiking, and my wife just kind of broke down and was up crying, and just like, man, I just am so missing something. Like, we need people. I need to know that there's people doing the same thing we're doing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we're so alone. Like, I feel like we're the only ones God has called to this. And it's just like really a burden. And I felt that way as well, not to the extent that she did, but I was doing a lot more of the everyday things. I was out more with people. Mm-hmm. She's at home with our kids a little bit more. And so we just started praying about that. And I met Gavin that week and then heard about the prayer conference. And we went to this prayer conference, met some people that were journeying the same direction, and began, I think, to get for the first time a really fuller prayer covering from local people. We had people in our families and extended that were praying for us, but we did a thing called the List of 100, that was all 100 people that you could pray for that were the people in your lives, and you could write like a B next to their name if they were a believer, and not do that, or a question mark if you didn't know. And like on the 100 that we had, it was like 75 people were not believers, you know, and from these people that we were interacting with week in and week out. And so God really started to break my heart about that even more, about just the need to pray for salvations and people to pray. So we started doing that. Within a couple of weeks, we had a 12-year-old girl on a Wednesday night who had been coming for about a month. She'd come before a couple of times, and horrible backstory, some things that she's had to go through in her life. Very skeptical of God and of really the fact that she could be loved. And after some of our circle up teaching time, she came, wanted to talk to me. And so a few of us started talking to her, and she was asking questions about how can I know that God is real, that God loves me, that I can be saved. Like, that's what I want. That was her. I want to be saved. Like, I know I need to be saved from something. Like, I feel it. But she's like, how do I know? So we start talking, and it was cool because we got these rough, tough guys, 18, 19 years old, and some of them are believers, and some of them aren't. Most of them were not at this point. And a couple of them were just chiming, like, as we're talking, it was like they're chiming in, like encouraging her and speaking like stuff. And I'm like, you don't even know Jesus, and yet you're leading this girl to Jesus. They're like affirming. I'm like, you need to think about what you're saying in your own life. But it was amazing. And she prayed right there. And I told her, there's not a specific prayer. You just need to tell Jesus you need him, and you need something, and you trust him. And so she had this amazing prayer. We were kind of crying. And then the next week we baptized her in a pool, like in a blow up kid pool outside of the building there that we meet at, and kind of like in a parking lot. And there was probably 25 or 35 young people there. And most of them, I would say, you know, 95% had never seen a baptism, and they're kind of out there watching. And one of the guys who was a 20-year-old guy who God had been really working on, he had had a DUI, had been coming to our Sunday night church for a little over a month, and God had really broken his life apart. He had lost his job, got kicked out of his home, got a DUI. All these things were spiraling down, and he had kind of made this profession of, like, that he got saved, like, in the middle of our house church one night. He's like, I was teaching about the gospel, and he said, I think I just got saved. And, like, it was pretty powerful. But then it was like, after that, he was hesitant to like talk, like, I don't know, this is too much. Well, that night after she gave this amazing testimony, she was sitting in this pool, and she's like, listen, I was like, do you want to say anything? And she was like, listen, I want you all to do this. Like, you, this is the greatest, like, you all need this. She was like, I know I'm younger than most of you, but like, this is like, I feel like you are my family. And I don't know half of you, but like, this is the most important thing I've ever. And so, like, people were just like listening. You could have heard a pin drop. And he came to me afterwards, this guy named Jason, and he said, I'm ready. Like, I know that, like, wow. I need to surrender everything. So we baptized him that Sunday in the river. And he brought his brother, who had never come, never seen this, and his best friend. And they came to our church that night and ate at our house and heard. And 2 weeks later, his best friend got baptized. And the week before that, actually, it's from the next Wednesday from this girl that was baptized, a guy called me from the school, the alternative school, the next day. And it was the janitor there that is part of our church. He's the first guy we ever baptized. He's only 20. And he said, hey, you got to talk to this kid. He's ready to get baptized. Like, he's going to leave school because he needs to talk to you so bad because he needs Jesus and he can't wait any longer. And I was like, okay, well, so I like talked to him after school and he was ready. And he was like, I believe and all this, and I'm ready to be baptized. And so I'm like, awesome. Okay. So we talked through it and then we're going to baptize him the next week. And then that Saturday he calls me, he's like, talk to my brother. Like, I've been telling him all about Jesus and like, he's ready to get baptized. But I told him, I want him to talk to you to understand, like, so he's not just like doing it cause I'm doing it. I want him to be 100%. And so I talked to this guy. He had been coming also. He's 20 years old and he was ready. And they're like, they have a younger brother that comes sometimes that doesn't live with them. And they were like, you need to talk to him, like, we really want him to like know Jesus too, like, it would, you know, that's super important. And so he goes to the school, so I went there to the school and after school there again, I was able to talk to him a little bit. Just like, hey man, do you want to talk to me? Because he had said he did. I was like, okay, come early Wednesday and let's talk about this. And so he did, and he was like, I'm not ready, like, I'm not. And I was like, good, like, that's fine. I don't want you to do this because you're brothers. So we baptized his brothers. And then, like, a few days later, he calls me and he's like, I'm ready. Like, somebody had given him, this guy that drives my home, gave him a track, like, Steps to Peace with God. And he's like, man, I read that, like, 10 times and I understand it. He's like, it made a little more sense. And he's like, I'm ready. So he comes the next Wednesday. We baptized him. And he brought a friend, this young boy that was his... lived near him, and he had been coming a couple of times, and he was like, I want you to talk to him. He's ready to get baptized also. Like, he's put his faith in Christ. So I talked to him, and he's like, I am, man. He's like, I believe 100% Jesus saved me, but he's like, I don't think I can get baptized out here. And we were baptizing in a horse trough at this point. Actually, Gavin, like, we had got, like, the pool popped, like, for like before our second baptism, like, the next week. Like, we were blowing up, like, we were filling it up, and, like, it sprung a hole. We tried to patch it, sprung another hole. So I went and bought this horse trough, and then Gavin actually, like, we were able to get reimbursed through Symbol Church. It was amazing. And so we were baptizing people in this horse trough, and so we baptized this one young man, and then we did at the beginning. And everybody goes in, we kind of do our teaching time, circle up, and we're praying. And I was like standing up talking to a couple people, and this young guy comes up to me and he was like, he had not been ready before when his friend got baptized. He said, I'm not ready. And he was like, I got to do it tonight. Like, did you dump that tub out yet? And I was like, I don't think they did. I think it's still out there. He was like, I'm getting in it right now. Like, you baptized, like, I'm ready. And this kid's like 13. And so I was like, hey guys, like, we're about to baptize this guy. So we all go out, we baptize him. Everybody's hugging him. And like, and this is like the roughest group of like teenagers you've ever seen in it. Like, they just like, I can't even describe to you. So we go back in, and this girl named Jane, who was 19, came to me, and she was crying, and she said, did they dump that tub out yet? And I said, I don't know, but we'll fill it back up if you want to.
Moral of this story is never dump the tub.
Yeah, never. Just keep up. So she, I was like, what's going on? So we talked, and we prayed, and we went back out, and we baptized her. And there's, I think, even more.
So
I don't know.
Let me just give people some. So what you're talking about here, just to help people kind of maybe put some of this kind of, like, you guys have a house church that meets at your home on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. And then you guys have this thing that started out kind of guys getting together on Wednesdays, playing music. You told me you like jammed a Pearl Jam and you're all just rocking it out. Then you all would kind of circle up with these folks. And so you've kind of almost got these two different simple churches kind of going at this point. But since then, the prayer, like, so how, you know, and again, this is just to give God pray. I think if you're hearing this podcast, you're hearing Caleb's heart, you understand, and this is why I wanted him to share. It's just because, honestly, I've been a part of, you know, I've not really seen a move of things happen like this, something I've prayed for, where we talk about things like you see in the Gospels happen in house church, and simple church being a vehicle for that, where you see whole households come to faith and circles of friendships. You know, we talk about, we've talked about that a lot and prayed for it, but you know, you're what's happening there with you guys has really been an encouragement to me. But so how many folks have been baptized since the last 9 months and since that conference when we prayed and all that? I mean, it's
since the conference 12.
Yeah.
Before that, in the last,
all in the same water. I mean, did you ever dump the tub?
Yeah, no, we dumped the tub. Okay. A couple of them were in the river.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.